Praise the Lord. Message number 191. The title of the message is The Power of Christ's Resurrection. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 27 and let's read verse 57 to verse 66. Matthew chapter 27 and we will read from verse 57 to verse 66. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in the front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. So they said, "We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Before we proceed into the message, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, anoint my lips and put word and verses and statement and expressions, and let the purpose of sending this message to your church and your people shall be accomplished. In the name of Jesus, I pray for clarity teaching. I pray for encouragement that come from your word, that all of us will be encouraged and we'll have more faith and trust in the power of Christ's resurrection and what he can do for us and for our behalf and the behalf of your church. I do pray in the name of Jesus for revival. I pray for assurance and confidence that come from you through your word, through the message that you send to your church. We thank you and we praise you. This all we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. We can see clearly that the Pharisees and the Jews and the chief priests, they not only were satisfied that Jesus will be put to death, but they were doing their best that he will not be resurrected, or that his body will not leave the tomb that he was laid on. They were so afraid that of Christ that even they put him to death, they were afraid that he will be raised from the dead, and then what they can do more to stop the message of Christ. And there were struggles the early church was passing through. You know, when Christ was put in the tomb, devil wanted that Christ was put to death and he will not rise again. We find that the stone was put to block anyone will come and take his body out. The Pharisees, they were afraid that his disciple will do it. They went to Pilate and they told him, "We need to make the tomb secure, so you go in the way that you know how." They put a seal, that's the second barrier, And the third barrier, they put guards. You know, we read verse 61 and say that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. They were watching Joseph of Arimathea, how he put the body of Jesus later on, he rolled a big stone to close the entrance to the tomb that where he put Jesus. In Mark chapter 16, we can read that really the Marys, they were thinking, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? When the we will read Mark chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 4. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they were asking each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Praise God. You know, that there is in their mind, you know, who will roll away the stone at the entrance? But praise the Lord. The Lord made a miracle and the stone was rolled away. You know, how it was rolled away? In Book of Matthew chapter 28, you read from verse 1 onward, you say, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. God sent his angel to move the stone. God intervened on behalf of his church to give them the evidence of Christ. See, whatever the work of man, the work of false teachers, evil doers, work of devil, authorities to block the work of God, the power of Christ's resurrection will prevail and overcome. What is the stone for us today? It's a blockage. It's difficulty. You know what he say here about the stone that it was rolled back. Some they say that the place was Jesus, the tomb that Jesus was placed in, as we read here, it was cut in the stone, and it's mentioned also it was in a garden. What they say, and what the scripture also tell us, that the stone was rolled from higher place to a lower place. So the entrance of the tomb was in a lower place, like, you know, going to little bit down, like going little bit to a valley, small valley, after some elevation, then you go down. That's why to close the opening of the tomb, you need to roll down the stone to the entrance. So here, the point here, that if you want to open the tomb, you have to roll up. And what you see here, they roll back. Roll back. It's like a slide. Up, down. Then you have to, when you open the tomb, you have to roll back the stone upward. That needs more power. There's anti-gravity to overcome the gravity. The question here, what this obstacle represent to us as a church today? Who put the stone? Joseph. You know, Joseph is from Arimathea. Is mentioned in other places. Let us know his identity. You know, in Luke chapter 23, verse 50, it says, now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, still Jewish, a member of the council, a good and upright man. He's a Jewish, good and upright. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 57, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. So he's a disciple, but he is still in part of the council. He have not yet said had been set free. In the book of John, we can read more about him. John chapter 19. And we will read verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea aspired for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. You see here, he is a believer, secret believer. Why he feared the Jews? Because he was part of the council. He still belonged to the tradition. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. Verse 39, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 75 pounds. So here they are still in the tradition, and they are the one who put the big stone. For us today, the big stone is the traditional way of belief. Traditional churches, those who believe in still baby baptism, still those who does not believe in the Holy Spirit baptism, the churches that does not believe in the operation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are the traditional churches that when we evangelize, when we expand, they are stone. People are not willing to be changed. But we must have faith in God. We must have faith in the power of the resurrection, about the power of the message of Christ can rule away stones and pave the way for us, the church, to go forward and preach the gospel. The second obstacles is the Pharisees. The teachers of the laws. The chief priests. Thus they know the word of God, and out of their jealousy, they put Jesus to death. Why? Because they were afraid he will take the crowd from them, he will take their position, the privileges, the fame, the position, the chairs, the titles. They don't want him to be resurrected from the dead. They want to keep him in the tomb. They went there and they put the wax, the seal. No one can move the stone, because if the seal will be broken, then they know that it is not a resurrection. And what they did, they put their hand with the government. This is the third power, the persecution through the non-believers. But it is motivated, modulated, programmed with the church leaders who are evildoers. They are after chairs, after positions, and titles. Matthew 28, it can tell us more about this kind of difficulties and hardship and obstacles. The Pharisees, and whom they can represent today. Matthew 28, verse 11 to verse 15. After Christ resurrected, and the woman, they left the tomb, and they come to know that he has been risen from the dead. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. The guards that they put, that the pilot said, put guards, the soldiers, the paid soldiers. Verse 12, when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. They closed their mouth with the money, telling them, you are to say, they put lies in their mouth, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Who represent this second force that oppose the church? They are the church leaders who know the word of God, who know the will of God, but they are greedy for money, greedy for position. They are willing to tell lies, manipulate those who are having leading churches with not with integrity or in a real holiness, but in compromises, transactions only. You do that, you do that. It is just they will use the government of the church to pass their agendas. They use the government not to provide service, but to block the true work of God. They will try to block the true church, the true worshiper, the true workers who want to serve the Lord and preach the message. Nowadays, compromises so much in the body of Christ. False teaching, false teachers, they promote immoralities, they cover up sins, they keep certain setups so that their privileges will not go away. And sometimes as a church we might be discouraged. Sometimes we are asking, to whom we go, and this false teaching so rampant. Some days they just believe in Christ, they will not speak about sin or repentance. They will not rebuke their members, their workers for their sins. Those who delight in only numbers, but not in holiness. We must believe and have faith that the power of Christ's resurrection can overcome this. The third power that may oppose the church is the persecution by non-believers. But this is also motivated and modulated and programmed with those who hold position in churches and use their position for politics and for living a prosperous life in a worldly way. Still the Lord assure us today, as he overcome the Lord at that time, you know, there's just a few women, feeble women, and that we are the church, we are the wife of Jesus. We are trying to compress to be swallowed by the Pharisees and hypocrites and traditional churches and governments and authorities and rules, but still no power can overtake or can swallow the message of Christ's resurrection. We need to have faith in the Lord. The message for us today is a message to ignite and to raise up our faith that the Lord will do more what we can expect or imagine. As the Lord is there, He sent his angel and he rolled back the stone. The guards, they were alarmed and afraid. They ran away. No more seal. Now, what the Pharisees, they planned, it end up with the other people, they plan to stop you or to discourage us or manipulate us and put rules and bondages. They will not succeed. The Church of God is moving, and we are His servants. We continue to evangelize, and the Lord is moving on our behalf, and He will do things more than what we expect or imagine. What the Lord did more for His church, as we can read in the scripture in book of John and chapter 19, as we know that the disciple, when they hear, they went to the tomb, they did not find Him, but still they were in fear and they were afraid. In John chapter 20 verse 19, we will read to verse 21. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." See here, even they are locked, they were afraid. Himself, the Lord, He went to them. The Lord Himself will come to us. We'll go to His servants who love Him and who are willing to save Him, and He will encourage us, and He will encourage you, and He will encourage everyone who set his heart to follow the Lord. Verse 20, and after He said this, He showed them His hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The Pharisees, those church leaders who are not after God's work and will and holiness and transparency, but after position and manipulation and politics, they will try to put fear, discouragement, they try to harm you, but the Lord will give us joy and encourage us. Verse 21, again Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Amen. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The Lord will send us with encouragement, with authority. He is the one who is saying in Matthew chapter 28, that is the power of Christ's resurrection. There is program events, schedules by the Lord, will overcome. It will tread on all the plan of David, the Pharisees, and human power or tradition or religious institute and whatever. The Lord moving forward, and we are with Him. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18 onward say, "Then Jesus came to them," He came to them and said, He will come to us, said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Lord assured His apostle before he went to heaven. And you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he wrote to the church at Corinth, and he reminded them and he mentioned to them and he stated to them that the Lord had appeared to many people after His resurrection to assure them and to commission them to go forward. Whatever human power, religious institute, organization, Pharisees, authorities try to block the work of God, the work of the Lord will not stop. Paul say, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to verse 8, "For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Praise the Lord. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So here the Lord continued to appear to the people, continue to go forward and take fear away, break bondages, set his apostles and disciples free, encouraging them to go and tell everyone everywhere about his resurrection. And that's here the message for us today as a church. Whatever hindrances, we need to trust the Lord that He is working, and no plan of Him can be thwarted. No power that can oppose the message and the work of God. You know, Paul, in one of his letters that he wrote in the book of Philippians, his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, in his final greetings, he said to the church in Philippi, in verse 22, chapter 4, verse 22, all the saints sent you greetings. They were saints with him in Rome. They sent greetings to the church, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Pilate, who said, take the soldiers, the household of Caesar, they become Christian now. The power of Christ's resurrection. And they sent also greetings to the churches. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That was one of the last letters of Paul when he was old age. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Paul was already advanced in the ministry. He had already accomplished his missionaries, journeys, and he planted many churches, and he had overcome a lot of obstacles, but still he wrote Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. His experience. Paul, he knew that experience. He was living in that experience, and he wanted to go more deep in that particular experience. I want to know Christ more. And that's here for us as a church. Let's go forward more. Let us know more about Christ. As we know more, we'll be encouraged, more will be strengthened, more. And the power of his resurrection. What Christ can do more. He can do more. Let's go forward. Don't get discouraged. How we can do more. How we can experience more of him. Let us share in the fellowship of his suffering. Let us be willing more to suffer for Christ. Christ suffering, it means for us today more power of his resurrection. More miracles. More bondage will be broken, more doors will be opened, more walls will fall down, and more stone will be rolled back, and more seals will be cut, and more people will be set free, becoming like him in his death. Let us let our flesh die. Let us have faith in the Lord, that we are justified by the blood of Jesus. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit with his word. And as we abide in Him, living our life like Him, to be united with Him in His death, we'll be united with Him in His resurrection, and we can live the power of the resurrection of Christ. We can see it, and we can witness and live and serve with that power of God. You know, Paul say, for our message was not had not come to you with only word, but with power, the power of the resurrection of Christ. The Lord will work mightily in our midst. The Lord will do great things for us. But let's have faith. Let us trust in God more. Don't look to those who oppose you. Don't look to those who are like stone, like mountains that will not be moved. Have faith in the Lord. Stones, mountains, obstacles, the Lord will rule back, and the gospel, the message that we give, will go forward. The gospel that you give, the message of the gospel, the word of God, the teaching of the Lord will go forward with power and demonstration. And the Lord will be with us. He will nullify the lies of the Pharisees, the transaction of the evildoers inside the body of Christ, those who delight in position and politics and use the church for financial gain. And the Lord will enable us to overcome the persecution of the non-believers, the governments and rulers who hate Christ. Lord, I cried out to you, Lord, as Paul cried out to you, Lord, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, this word of yours will encourage your church and it will help us. Lord, I pray for revival. Lord, this message, I pray for a life inside your church and every congregation, every minister and every workers in the name of Jesus. I come against all blockages. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I do pray for more souls to come to you, Lord. More people will be set free from bondages, from ties of devil, from tradition, from politics manipulation. We cut it off right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for revival, O God. I pray for more areas, more areas for the gospel to be open for us. Lead us to villages, towns, cities, countries, nation, ethnic groups. Lead us, O God. Guide us. Take us as a church to continue, Lord, to serve you and to proclaim the message. I pray for prostitutes to be set free. Pray for thieves, criminals, evildoers. They'll be set free in the name of Jesus. O Lord, hear our prayer, O God. Lord, we delight in you. We delight to serve you. O God, bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.